So we got three lines from the top of the Gemara. It says, Amar Rabba Bar Shila Amar Rav Masna Amar Shmuel. Maisa is once a case, Vitalu es a Shilya Bivlad Adasar Yaman. That Vlad was born, and then afterwards the Shilya came out, the placenta came out 10 days afterwards. Vilo Amru Tolin Ela Vishilya Haba Achar Vlad. We only say, you could assume the Shilya, the placenta was attached to the Vlad if the Shilya came out afterwards. But if it was the opposite, we discussed yesterday, the Shilya came out before the Vlad, so then Yechoshesh, that perhaps the Shilya was a separate Vlad from that which came afterwards. Gemara now records another Maisa with the Shilya, Amar Abba Bar Barchana, Amar Yochanan Maisa, Vitalu Es HaShilya, Bavlad Ad Esrim Ushloshi Yam. 23 days afterwards, we could still assume that Shilya was connected to the Vlad 23 days prior. Amar Lai Rav, Yosef said, Ad Esrim Varba Amar Lan. You told us it was 24 days. So there's a bit of a debate whether 23 or 24 days was he willing to be told the Shilya with the Vlad. Gemara now tells you another Maisa. Amar Rav Acha Brei Rav Avira, Amar Rebbe Yochanan Maisa V'Nishtav Vlad. Now, not the Shilya, this is the Vlad. The Nishtav Vlad Achar Chavero. So they're twins. Twin Vlados, so born, two children born. So the Vlad, we assume the Vlad was Achar Chavero Shloshim U'Shlosha Yom. That the Vlad, the twin, came out 33 days after his sibling came out. So Amar Le Rav Yosef, if Yosef said, Shloshim V'Arba, Amar Shlan, you told us it was 34 days. Okay, 34. So one situation is a 23 days delay of the Shilya after the Vlad, and the next case is 33 days of the Vlad after the Vlad. So Gemara wants to understand this case now, the Vlad 33 days after Chavero. So Hanich Laman, Amar, this all makes sense. The one who holds, you'll have this Letitia, then you'll have this L'mukutayim. So there's a machlokas we're going to see later on in the Masechta, that when a child is born, a 9 month baby, so then the machlok is whether he needs 9 full months, must be 9 months, 30 days each 9 months, so 270 days, or no, it could be even into the 9th month, it could be broken up, even a few days into the 9th month would also give birth. So the one who holds, Laman Damar, Hayoledes Letitia, a woman who gives birth to a 9 month child, Yoledes Lemukutam, can give birth even if it's partial month, meaning even a few days into 9th, you don't need a full 9th month, but just a few days into 9th month, the way it worked was, they understood, I don't know how it works nowadays, it doesn't seem to be the same way, a 7 month baby is considered a viable baby, 8 month baby is not, and a 9th month baby is. So how many days into the 9th month would be considered a Ben Kayama? So one opinion says you need a full 9 months, 30 days into the 9th month, that's what you need, but there's another opinion that says even a couple days, even 1 or 2 days into the 9th month, that's called 9 month baby, and that's also Ben Kayama. So the one who holds that a 9 month baby can be born even in Yoledes L'Mukutayim, even broken up short months. So still, Mishkachta, this makes sense. That how do you find a distinction, a 33 day difference between one sibling and the other sibling? They're both twins. So Mishkachta's law, Echa Nigmar Tzirasa L'Sof Shiva, Ve'echa Nigmar Tzirasa L'Tchilas Tisha. So one child, it finished its tzura, it was complete after the 7th month, a couple days at the end of the 7th month. And then the next one was completed at the beginning of the 9th month. So the eighth month is 30 days. And you have the end of the 7th month is now 1 day difference, and 2 days into the 9th month, that's 33 day difference. You can have a 33 day difference between one child and its twin. One is a 7 month baby, one is a 9 month baby. This is all fine. But however, this doesn't make sense. You can't figure out 33 days if you're going to assume El Mandamar, Yoledes Letitia, Eino, Yoledes Mukutar. If a baby is a 9 month baby and it's not born in 9 half months, it must be 9 full months. So now, Michael Mamer, what are you going to do? So what are the possibilities? How do you figure out a 33 day difference between two children? If one is born in ninth month, that's the end of 30 days, and one's born after the 7th month, that's 60 days in between. So that can't be. Now, if they're both born in the seventh month, so even one at the beginning of the 7th month, one at the end of the month, it's less than 30 days, 29 days at most. So how do you have 33 days between two twins being born if you assume that a 9 month baby cannot be born in the Mukutar, it must be a full month? So Gemara answers, Epoch Shmaita, let's switch them around and really say the Shloshim V'Shloshim Maisa, the 33 day Maisa was on the Shilya, when the placenta came out 33 days after the birth. That's fine. And the case of the Vlad after the Vlad, the twins, that was Esim Ushlosha Levad, that's 23 day difference, and that's when they both took place in the 7th month. Because in the 7 month, everyone agrees a 7 month baby can be l'mukutayim. So one baby was born in the beginning of the 7 month, and the twin was born at the end of the 7th month, and that can be a 23-day difference. Mm-hmm. And that's how we can reconcile this this machlokes.
The reason why the whole of the Shvi can be l'mukutayim and the
Shvi. I assume that 9 month baby, that's normal. Once it's a 7th month baby, then everything's off. So there's no you don't need a full term at all. Everything's broken up.
So they figured out if somebody was born the first few days, that they had, it was a miscalculation in those days.
They were very calculated, I guess. I don't know.
Because, I mean, I was born the first day of the 9th day.
Yeah. So, and you're a Ben Kayama Baruch Hashem, so it's 120. So, yes.
I assume that they couldn't calculate, they didn't have they thought probably that it was conceived earlier.
Yeah, and maybe when we see the Gemara later on in a few days, maybe we'll elaborate more. So, but I never understood this. It doesn't seem to be the case now, because an eight-month baby is a Ben Kayama nowadays.
Right.
So I don't know really what it means.
I think that the lungs are not developed, something like that.
Uh-huh.
So nowadays they would put it in.
No, but a 7 month baby is not more viable than an 8 month baby nowadays.
Right.
But I want to ask the doctors. Okay. The Gemara then says, Amar of Av and Amar Barav Adal, Amar of Av and Acham, Ish Kfar Sharim, of Amri Le Adesay Beish Sharim, Maisav Nishta Vlad Echad Acha Chavera. They're twins that were born, but the separation between their births were Shlosha Chadashim, 3 months different. So that's a very big difference. And how is that possible? And they say, Harei Heim, you know who they are? Yosh from Lefaneinu beBeis Medrash. They're two twins sitting here in the Beis Medrash. I'm not sure you call them twins or not. They're brothers. Uma Ninu, Yehuda, B'chizkiya, B'nei Rebichia. They were born, they were in the womb together, but one was born 3 months before the other one. So Ha Amar Mar, but doesn't it say, Ein Isha Misaberes V'chozeres Misaberes? Once a woman becomes pregnant, she cannot become pregnant a second time while or carrying one child already. So how do you have a 3 month the discrepancy between their births? So Amar Bai explains, Tipa Achat Haitha, it was really one Tipa. And that Tipa was Nitzchalka L'Shaim, split into two. So then there are two children in the womb. And Echa Nigmar Tirasa B'tchila Shiva. Echa Nigmar B'tchila Tisha. One was full term after the, into the 7th month. And one was at the end of the 9th month, so that's the 7th month, the 8th month, the 9th month, those are 3 months, and that explains the situation. One was the beginning of the 7th month, and one was the end of the 9th month, that makes a discrepancy of 3 months. So Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah from yesterday's daf that Shilya Babayas Habayas Tameh. If there's a Shilya, there's a placenta in the house, we assume that there's the mace as well, and we just can't see it, we don't notice it, and the house is Tameh. So Tanya Rabban, the Raisa says, Shilya Babayas Habayas Tameh, Lo Shia Shilya Vlad, not that the Shilya itself is a Vlad, Ela Shain Shilya Shain Vlad Ima. There is no placenta without there being a child, without there being a Vlad somewhere, and therefore the Vlad is there, there's Tumas Mace. Divrei Rebbe Meir. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon and Mitar, and they think this case is all Tahar. So Amrullah, they say to Rabbi Meir, to explain, Amrullah to Rabbi Meir, Iyata Moda, do you not agree to us? Shim Hotsiuhu, B'Seifa, let's say you take out this the placenta in some type of bucket and you take it outside, the Baisachiton to the outer house, Shehu Tahar, are you not going to agree to us, Rabbi Meir, that that case is Tahar? If you transport the placenta, at that point it's Tahar. And Amr Lahem, Rabbi Meir says, yeah, Aval, MS, true, I agree that that case, if you transport the placenta from where it was, where it was born and to some other house, I agree it's Tahor at that point. Velama, why? What's the reason? So he explains, because the Fi She'enu, it doesn't exist anymore. The moment you move it around, you shake it, whatever was there, after moving it and transporting it, it's going to be completely obliterated, and at that point, after the transportation, it's going to be Tahor. So Amrullo, Chacham said, that's our very reason. Meaning, Kesheim She'enu B'Bayis Achiton, just like when you transport it to the outer house, the Vlad is no longer relevant. It's Tower, She'enu B'Bayis Achiton, so too. Kach Anu B'Eino B'Bayis Apinimi. It doesn't exist in the Bayis Apinimi either. Rather, it's disappeared it. So Amr Lahem, so he says to them, Eino Doma, Rabbi Meir says, no, you can't compare the place it was born to the place where it was moved to. Because Eino Doma Nimuk Pamachas Nimuk Shtei Pamim. Because yes, I agree. Rabbi Meir says, I agree that there's a Vlad that's there. But the Vlad, and I agree, if you move it enough, shake it enough, it's going to obliterate. But one time shaking versus two times shaking isn't the same. You shake, it's born, and then you move it, and you shake it, that I agree gets rid of it. But the first, after Pam Rishon, it's still there to a certain extent, and that's why I think it's Tamei Bebayis HaPanimi, Bebayis HaChitana, I agree, that at that point it's going to become Tahor. So Yosef Rapapa Achore Derabbeide, Kame Derab Hamnuna, the Yosef Akamar, my time in Derabbe Shimon. What's the reason Rabbi Shimon says that even the Bayis HaPanimi, it's Tahor? Kesavar, called Tumash in his Ariba Min Acher, so then it's Betela. He holds, if you have a type of tumma that has anything mixed together with it, the din is that the din has to be, it will be tahor. So Amar la Rapapa says to him, Hayu Nami Tamayu, that's the same reason for Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, who go in the same sheet, and that hold, that the shulya in the bayis is tahor because, again, since the vlad might be there, and that's tumas mace, since it's mixed together with the dam of the leida, everything mixed together, that's mevatel it, and it's not going to be metame. So then after saying this, achike lalaya, so they started to smile, they say, Rapapa said, oh, that's the same reason Rabbi Huda Rabbi Yossi. They started like laughing at him to Rapapa. They said, achike lalaya, maishna, why would this be different? Pshita, what are you telling us? Such an obvious point here. We know if that's the svar for Rabbi Shimon, it's the same svar for Rabbi Huda Rabbi Yossi. What's the chiddush? You know, some wasting our time, you're telling us something we know already. Rapapa says, afilu kiamilsa, even this matter that might be so obvious, and even though it's going to lead me to some level of a busha, and you're embarrassing me and making fun of me, still, lema inish velo nishta kami rabbi, a person should say, and not to be quiet in front of his rabbi, just to make sure everything's clear, because mishum shenemar, it says in the pasuk of Mishlei, im nivalta bisnasa, if you get niveled, if you get embarrassed, you get disgraced, that's going to hisnasa, that's going to elevate you. There should never be a question you should be embarrassed about asking, or a statement you should be embarrassed about saying in front of your rebbe, because that will only elevate you. Vim zamos yad leper, if you put your, you muzz your mouth, so then you're not going to elevate yourself, then you're going to remain where you are. So okay, I was embarrassed, they insulted me, works for me. So the Gemara says of Azir Rabbi Shimon Latamei, this is Rabbi Shimon Lashitasa. The Tani of the Braisa tells us that Malot Tarvad Rekev lets you have a spoonful or a ladleful a rekev. Rekev is what they call dust of the corpse dust. So you have a ladleful of corpse dust. Shenaflo Tocha Afar Kol Shimon. A little drop of dirt falls and gets mixed together. So the din is that, in general, forget the Afar. The shear of mitame tumas ohel, if you have a malo tarvat of rekev, that's mitame tumas ohel, that amount of corpse dust. Less than that's not. So now I've got a full, I have the shear, but it's mixed together, it's one drop of offer, a little piece of dirt, a little kernel of dirt falls in. Shenafel tocha offer kol shu. In addition to the shear, exactly. So that's tame, it would still be tame because you didn't lose the shear, you still have the malo tarvat there, you just have something added to it. And Rabbi Shimon says, Mitayer, because he holds anytime you have something tamei that's mu'ura with something else, that will actually lose the potency of being mitamei something. So my time, what's the reason? What's the basis for Shita's Rabbi Shimon? My time at the Rabbi Shimon. So Amar Rabba explained, Ashkechatinu the Rabbanon de Be Rav. I found that the Rabbanon of the base measure Rav were sitting down the Yosef, the Kamri, they were saying this shear over, and they said the reason is as follows. Because E.F. Sharshlo Yirbushte Predos Afar, it's impossible that there won't be one kernel of or dust, corpse dust, that isn't enveloped by afar, and therefore, since it's exactly a malot tarvot of rekev, since there's going to be one piece that's going to be blocked by afar, therefore you're lacking the shear. In order for the shear to be present, it has to be all touching each other, all matarf. So there's going to be at least one tiny corpse dust that's surrounded by afar, and therefore breaks the shear necessary. So their response back is, I said to them, I said back to them, this Rabba speaking to the Tamidim there, the Rabba, the opposite is true. Ef shar shlo yirbushte predos rekev al preda achas afar, benafishlo shira. What's going to happen is the opposite. There's so much mullah, there's so much rekev, the rekev is actually going to overwhelm the afar, and then make the afar as if it's not there, and then all the afar is going to, all the rather rekev is going to touch each other. So the shear is still there, and still touching each other.
I don't know if this comes to this one. He's saying that once you put some dust on it, it's going to fall around it, and it's going to separate it.
That's the initial one, exactly.
Completely cover it.
Cover at least one part, even a tiny piece of dust. If it's surrounded by dirt, it's no longer considered part of the rest of it. And you're missing part of the shear.
So we think that the dirt will surround, at least completely surround one.
And the response is no. There's more rekiv than dirt there. The rekiv is going to surround the dirt, and then the dirt's going to be as if it's nothing, and all the rekiv is touching each other.
Okay.
So we don't really know what's happening here in Metzias.
Right.
So but that's the question. So the Gemara says, fine, that's not the reason. The reason why Rabbi Shimon says it's Tahor when a piece of Afer falls in, and the Amar Rabba Hainu time with the Rabbi Shimon, Sofo Ketechila. So the end is like the beginning. The end of the record, which means when the end, when it's mixed together with a Davar Acher, should be similar to the beginning when there's a Davar Acher. What does that mean? Matchilaso nasi lo Davar Acher gangilon, just like in the beginning with the initial corpse dust there. So there's something else there. It's going to be mevatel. We'll see what that means in just a second. It's going to cancel out the relevance of the rekev if something else is mixed together. So to the end, even though we don't know if there's more offer or the offer is covering the rekev or the rekev is covering the offer, it's a fact that there's a davar acher mu'urav there. So av sof, so to the end, nasil o davar acher gan gilun. And when something else is relevant, something else rather is present, it's going to be mevatel the strength of the rekev. So what does that mean? What's the case? Mahi. So the Tani, the Brisa tells us that Eizu Meisha Sheish LeRekev. What's the Meis that has Rekev? When is there Rekev? Veizu Meisha Shein LeRekev. And when is the Meis there is no Rekev? I mean, there's always corpse dust. The question, when do we acknowledge it as being Tumas, Tumas Meis with the Rekev? So the Gemara explains. Nikbar Arum, the Arum. Let's say the body is buried naked. In Arun Shashayish, in a marble coffin, Oal Gavi Ritzbash Alvanim, or on a stone floor. So then, Zel Meisha Sheish LeRekev, because as the body decays and turns into corpse dust, there's nothing else mixed together. Marble doesn't decay, and stone doesn't decay, it remains as is, and all you have there is pure Rekev, and that's Tumas Meis. However, Eizu Meisha Shein LeRekev, when is there a situation where there is no Rekev? So the Gemara says, Nikbar B'Ketusov, if it's buried with its covered with a clothing of some sort, or Ba'aron, oh, well, Gabi Ritza, right, or sorry, Orange Church, or wooden coffin, or Gabi Ritza Shilavanim, or some type of limestone or brick that could crumble and turn into dust. Since then, when that decays, it has mixed together, Zel Meishain LeRekev. But I think it's called Rakov, I'm sorry. Meishain LeRekov, there's no Rakov there. So that's the difference.
That it's not Metame, even exactly. If it does mixed up with
the exactly. So there is going to be corpse dust, but since it's not pure, it's not going to be Metame. Lo amru rakav elo lemeis bavad, and the only time we have rakav is when there is from a person that died naturally, natural causes. Does that generate rakav? Lemute harug, if a person was murdered, dilo, that's not the case because since it lost the blood, left the body, it won't have the amount of rakav or the molecules of the rakav won't be the same since it lost the blood while being murdered. So I don't know at what point you say this. You know, you could have a person who could die from unnatural causes and it could be blood loss, but there seems to be totally based on being explained here of the loss of blood, how much blood a person has or not, would define what's rakav, what's not rakav. So then the Gemara says gufa. We have an abrais who said above that melo tarvad rakav shenafel otocha afar kol shu tamei Rabbi Shimon Matar. Melo tarvad rakav shenisbazir b'bayis. Let's say you have now a ladle full of corpse dust that now gets dispersed, sprinkled throughout the house. It's not all in one place, but it's all in the house, but it's not together. It's not one unit. So the din is habayis tamei because it's all there. You have the same shear. Granted, it was parts in that corner and parts in this corner, but at the end of the day, the ohel covers all the molly tarvo rakov, and it's metame. Rabbi Shimon says metar. He thinks, no, not true. So the Gemara says, v'tzicha, you need to teach both cases. And this brisa, one is that melo tarvo with the kolshu of afar's tahar, and one case, if it's nispazim b'bayis, it's also tar. So why you have to teach both cases? What would you not have known from the other case? V'tzicha, di hashminan kamais, had he taught the first case, v'hi kamrei, Rabban, that's where Rabban say, mishum d'michanef, because that's where everything's together, so that's when they say it's tumah, melo tarvo de rakav is together. Avon nispazir, but if it's dispersed throughout the house, he would agree to Rabbi Shimon that it should be tahor. Why? You would have thought the ein mal choser mal. This is a concept that it's part of the dust here, part of the dust there. There's an oil here, and now it makes another oil over that corner, another oil over that corner. The question: can you combine different oilim together? So that's why you would have thought that if it's nispazir, even Rabban would think it's tahor. Kamashlan, that no, he thinks you can be mile of a choser mile, and therefore even this pas is tame for Rabban. So let's see, had only.
So Rabban holds that mile of choser mile.
Exactly, but let's see how the other case. V'yashmina, we only have the case baha, but the case of this paser that machlokas. So I would have thought baha, I'm a Rabbi Shimon, de'ain mile of choser mile. That's where Rabbi Shimon says tar, because you don't hold. You could make an oil here and an oil here and an oil here and combine it. about Baha, but the case of the Melo Tarvad, which has a offer kol shu, maybe Ema Modil Lulu Rabbanan. There he should agree. It's Tame like Rabbanan. Tricha to teach me, even in that case, Rabbi Shimon holds, it's not going to become Tame. So Tani Idel Sabraisa says further now, Melo Tarvad ve'od offer besa kvaros Tame. So let's say it's a Melo Tarvad and a little bit more than that of dirt, not of dust now, not corpse dust, but dirt of base kvaros. The person dug up a ladle worth of dirt from the base kvaros, so plus more, not more than a ladleful. So this din is it's tame. We'll see why. And Rabbi Shimon says, matar, that's tahor. So why would you think of, you know, scooping up some amount of dirt from a base kvaros should be tame? So my tamei od rabbanon, the fisha iav char lemlo tarvad v'od, off our base kvaros. To have amounts of Melo Tarvad plus more, that of dirt for base kvaros, impossible. She'ein ba Melo Tarvad rock. If it's impossible that it doesn't have Melo Tarvad, we assume apparently that the dirt of a base kvaros is full of corpse dust, and therefore you're never going to have a pure amount of corpse dust because there's dirt there as well. But if you scoop up a ladle full and then some, we assume there's a ladle full of corpse dust within that scoop, and therefore Tameh, while again Reb Shimon l'shita, so that's Tahor, because since it's an offer kosher, that's Me'urav in it, it's not in a pure state, therefore it's Tahor, l'fishitas Reb Shimon. The bar that says, Hashas damas taima to Reb Shimon, now that we've established the reasoning of Reb Shimon is Mishim Sofa k'tisadaso, so then because the end and the beginning, the end is just like how it works in the beginning, that nothing else will be mixed together, Gabe Shilya, my time, and what's the reason why by the shilya, when there's a shilya in the house, that Rabbi Shimon holds that it's tahor? It's a different svar here. This inyan of not anything else being mu'uraba was only relevant by rakav. The rakav, we had the bright, so that if it's buried with ksus, it's no rakav, but if it's buried without a ksus, it is rakav. But it's only a shilk we have that the rakav of a mace has to be pure. But we don't have that thing by shilya, so there must be a different reason why Rabbi Shimon holds a shilya and the bias is tahor. So what is that reason? So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Bittel Birov Nagu Ba. Because of Bittel, the Indian of Bittel, that nothing to do with Mu'raba. If there's something small, Mu'raba is still going to become Tameh. But since most of the blood that comes from the woman is going to be Dam Leda, that's going to overwhelm the Vlad that's there, and therefore Bittel Birov, and not Tumas, there will be no Tumas Meis. The Oz the Rabbi Yochanan Tame, Rabbi Yochanan goes to Shitaso, the Indian of Bitter Rov here, Dama Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Eliezer, Ben Yaakov, Amud Davar Acher, he Rabbi Yochanan pointed out that these two Tanoim said the same thing. Rabbi Shimon Hadamar, and we just showed Rabbi Shimon that a Bitter Rov applies to the Shulya. And what's Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov? So he holds the Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov, Omer, Behema Gassi, you have a big animal, cow, let's say, that Sheshafa Charef Dam, that she was Mapil, a piece of blood came out. To cover, you have to bury it, because you assume that maybe this is a Bechor, it's a cow that never gave birth before, and it came out some chaticha, it wasn't a Ben Kayama, it wasn't a calf that was able to walk and then move and look like a calf, it was just a chaticha shodam. So we assume that that's perhaps a Bechor, we don't know if it's a Zachar or a Kev, it can't distinguish, so we assume the worst case scenario, and we bury it, because the din is a Bechor that's born, that's dead, you have to bury a Bechor, so you bury it. And also, it's potter if the cow gives birth to the next calf, that is potter from giving to the kohen. The Tana Rabbi Chiya Allah, Eina Tame Lo B'Maga V'Lo B'Masa. Now this din also is not an avela, however. It's we're going to assume it's in terms of a chor, you have to bury it, and it's going to exempt the next calf from being a bechor. But at the same time, we don't assume it's mamasha, an animal, because there's no tumas nevela. One were to touch it, one were to carry it, it would not be a din of an avela. So the Gemara says, wait a second, it's a stira. Me'acha she'inu matamer lo b'magi l'momasa, and once there's no tumah, which means it's not an avela, it's not a vlad, ma'at tekaver, why are you burying it then? It's nothing. If it's really meaningless, so then do what you want with it. Why do you have to bury it? So Gemara says, you bury it, k'dei l'farsima shiptura me'abachara. Because even though you're right, it's not really a vlad, but in the end day, it's enough, it was poterechem. It will exempt the next calf from being a bechor. So the burying is not so much for the burying of the charor itself. You're burying it to just show everyone that the next thing that the cow gives birth to, even though it might be a calf and a zachar, you wouldn't be chayv in pidyon haben, rather in bechor, giving it to the kohen. So Gemara to Alma, we see that it's a vlad v'ayayi. The fact that it's metameh, rather, it's a poter, the next calf from being a bechor, only a vlad ma'aya could poter the next animal. So it is a vlad. But my tana, if it's really a vlad then, so it should really be a nevela that's dead. But my Tani Rabbi Chiya, why does Rabbi Chiya say, Einam Atame Lo B'Magal Masa? So we see we're stuck here. Is there a Vlad? Is it not a Vlad? Is it Nevelin or not Nevelin? So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan says, Mishim Bitta Barov Naguba. So explain as follows. This is really when a Harara comes out of a cow, that's a real Vlad. It's a real Vlad, and that's why you have to bury it. It's a real Vlad, that's why it's potted and poked to the next one. But the reason why there's no tumas in the vela is because it's bit of a rove. Since it's all the dom lady that comes from the cow, that overwhelms the Vlad that was there, therefore there is no tumas in the vela. We'll go a couple lines and we'll stop here. The Gemara now says further. Amar Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Ami says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mozi Rabbi Shimon, She'imo Tmei Leida, that the din is when a woman... when she's a shilya, even though Rabbi Shimon said that a shilya b'bayis, the bayis is tameh, rather tahor, it's still the woman is tumas leda, tumas yoledes. Because he does agree that there's a vlad there. He just says, for technical reasons, it's not matame the house, because it's a bit of barov. But there still is a vlad there, and therefore, the mother of the shilya would have to be keeping the din of yoledes. So Amrahi Sabal Rabbi Ami, and the reason is that the older man explains to Rabbi Ami, Asvar Lecha Taima, let me explain the reason why Rabbi Yochanan says this, why she's Metame Tumas Leda. The Amakra, the Pasuk says, Isha Ki Tazriya V'Yalda Zachar, a woman Mazriya, and then she gives birth to a child. Afilo Yalda Ela Kain Shizriya Tumas Leda. Even if she gives birth to only that which is Zriya, which is, which means where there's nothing more than Zera, nothing substantial came out, that's sufficient to render her a Yoledes, Tumas Yoledes, and that's the basis for this statement. Okay, and we'll stop here because it seems like this next piece goes well into the next stuff. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.